and have a poll showing that he's gone down in popularity in this country. If it's up, then I am going to release it on Thursday. Which is kind of an interesting thing.
A nice thing.
Well, Clown is at least a little bit patriotic.
Well, there is.
It's a very valid point.
The China thing is a very, very important point. But you know, it shows you the point.
It shows you that Ron recognizes what he, that the fact that he has.
It also shows you the point Ron is making. Yeah, of course, it's a total dub, you know.
Yes.
Your life is Harris, not the economics.
That's it, Doug.
He's worse than Harris.
Much worse. Because he's not as smart.
That's right.
He's emotional. Harris is smarter. But look, quite crooked.
Gallup is just obsessed with, you know, for God's sake, get out of the war. Don't, you know, he doesn't care how or what.
We don't know whether it's gone up or not.
Yeah, 53-36. Went up 4 points.
So he's going to print that one?
Thursday.
Thursday. 53-36, you see. That's actually a better improvement over the previous figures. It shows a 4 point up on one, but a 3 point down on disapproval.
That's right.
Now, polls we do not live or die by, because the next month they'll go down. You know what I mean? That's the way they do it.
That's right.
But if you couldn't have had a better time to have the son of a bitch go up.
And it's at least as important for the Vietnamese. The Chinese don't watch the polls so much. If the Chinese have made the decision they're going to bet on you, they stuck with it through all. I mean, after all, they went through with the trip in July.
They're probably smart enough to know what polls do in this country anyway. They analyzed it.
But the North Vietnamese, this is going to be a real body blow to them.
It's interesting, though, Gallup's view that they wouldn't get one
of those China. Now, pollsters usually, well, of course, if we're a case of the hurt of the Democrat, they would do it, I think.
But this is the more affect the country. I mean,
it's your speech, that January 25th speech. I didn't expect it to be such a blockbuster.
It didn't show as much shit in our poll as it did in Gallup's speech.
But it might have been too soon.
Well, ours is 54.
It was 52 before.
Yeah. See, we had to pull.
November. But you're known on your big long one. Your game that they, you know.
Yeah.
That was 50.
Get some by.
Well, I should hear all. Because we have the numbers. I mean,
but how close to the speech did you pull?
Right here. Yeah. See, that's the other thing. You don't get the effect from the next day. You know that if a speech moves you up, if an event moves you up, it takes 4 or 5 days for
a Gallup poll always runs 3 or 4 points weaker than ours.
That's right.
Because our column polls is the first.
We end up with 54. I'll bet if we poll now, well, I don't know, if we had polled the same weekend that Gallup did, we would have had about probably 56, 57.
I think that's right.
If we had. Now, I don't know what the effect of the flap after, you know, the Haldeman flap may have.
I think that Haldeman flap
thought
that all was an asset.
You know, it was listen,
anyway, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it for a reason that suppose it did affect it. Suppose 4 or 5% wrong. God damn it, it's a shot across the bow. Gee, son of a bitch, honest.
It hurt us with the people who are against it.
Yeah, and it helped like hell. I've gotten about 700 letters now. Mm-hmm. It's just
quite a few wires.
About 100 wires, but the letters
are
right by the end. And the letters are all your silent majority type people. They're all these little ladies in Iowa.
Yeah.
And somebody in Seattle or something, you know, who says, thank God somebody has spoken out against these people. There are a lot of letters from Virtues, too, saying, you know, glad you got the dirty communist things and all that stuff.
Yeah, but it doesn't fit.
But Charlie Ryan
is very interesting because he writes, you know, in his legal stationery and everything, he said, the defense against libel and slander is truth. Therefore, what they're saying about you is totally defensible. I mean, your position is totally defensible because you spoke the truth.
Hey.
You know, and he said, it's interesting that these people run out obsessed with distorting what you said to define themselves as guilty of treason. There's a reason for that in their minds or something, you know.
And you know, on the North Vietnamese, Mr. President, the fact that you came out slugging, they are used to presidents who sit there and get chopped up. And here you are, theoretically in a vulnerable position, you come out with a speech, your chief assistant. They figured that this is...
At least they know I didn't run away from it.
And you didn't run away from it?
And also, I inclined to think that press conference had some effect on it.
That press conference.
Particularly when I, you see, because they knew I was backing away from Rogers. I didn't do it
Well, that's fine. You don't get any points for this about your secretary.
They like, you know, they like writing details what they want to hear.
Well, you killed the two question though. It kind of went away.
You killed the two question.
Which is ideal, because that is sure as hell a thing we don't want to be talking about.
And you backed him up, which means that they have any hope of overthrowing him domestically. You were tough. All the military moves you made before that last month was a masterpiece of... Now, if we pull this off, we have no right to pull it off. With the country we have behind us...
the Congress.
With the Congress, the cabinet, it'd be a bloody miracle.
Well, it's a bloody miracle for you to get to China. We get there.
Oh, you'll get to China. That's easy.
Get through it.
You'll get through it, Mr. President. Beautifully.
Just get to the progress. I just think just how to hard on it. That's all. I just told Henry, Bob, I'm not going to have I have to go through 7-8 hours a day of long talks, and I can't have my peace of mind at all disturbed by Bill hanging around about wanting to help with the communicator or something. Now, God damn it, he didn't help us on the other communicators. He shouldn't have helped on this one.
And this one, it's such a delicate balance. And if you look at the history of how we went through it, and
now, Bill knows damn well there is a communicator. I'm sure he knows. We told him there isn't. But there is a final one. Not until Mao and I agree on it.
That's so good. Over sections instead of
only the promoter, sir. He hasn't seen
the good one. If you could find anything else, I'll let him go over.
Well, I'll let him have the cultural and trade. The only problem is that's also negotiated. And these guys are going to run around and claim they did it. That's the hell of it.
That's fun.
I think Sager's going to have to, they're going to have to claim things and so forth. But how many people read that bullshit?
What people are going to read is that Nixon went to Peking.
Yeah.
Met with Chou Enlai and Mao Zedong, and this is what happened.
What
they're going to think back to that is Kissinger went before Nixon and set it up.
Oh, I don't give a damn about myself getting better.
But you will. That's me. Yeah. You can't avoid that.
That's you.
And if they also think that Bill Rogers, Nixon's Secretary of State, went over and got a cultural agreement, got some Chinese ballet dancers to come over or some damn thing, then that's just dandy.
Well, we,
who cares?
Some jugglers. No, Hughes Heidi, I don't know whether Hughes Heidi, what you wrote in that piece about me, he also stressed the point that you went over everything.
That's right. Last week
he had an article about me in Life, and he said that the president didn't bother about the technical arrangements, but he went over every word of every statement.
Well, they painted a good picture of that Henry got off his secret airplanes and came rushing right over the White House and sat with you into the wee small hours of the night.
But that's true.
But I mean, that picture comes through better than the technical, you know, than saying the president consulted on it or something like that. The fact of you getting off an airplane tired from a secret meeting and running right into the...
That was on the Vietnam stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
They said you went over everything before and then over everything right afterwards. And everything that was said in China, you had spent 6.5 hours with me just on the opening statement.
That was Vietnam.
The thing I was going to say is that it's pretty hard for the press. I think Henry Feinstein is going to have a pretty goddamn hard to say that I don't know what else is going on. You know, they pour Eisenhower pieces on that point.
They've never tried to do that with you. There's no way that they can.
No, they might.
No, there's no way. They've tried to hit you on that's one that there's never been a speak to that.
I've never seen any article. They would love. I mean, they would love to be able to say somebody is doing this. But they've
spent dollar business.
Yeah, but they've never done that. In none of the profiles have they ever said anything other than that you give the orders and then somebody else may execute them, but you are in total control. It's never like the Dulles-Eisenhower relationship where it was used to be said that he did it and Eisenhower just ratified.
I think that that's one of the reasons why when Spain does go off, as it does from time to time, someone over there on their little gimmicks to say, well, they did this and that.
Okay.
Nobody believes it. I don't think people believe it, you know, that they did this and that, and that they sort of talked me into it, and they did it against my will and all that bullshit.
No, I think that your control of foreign policy is established. I've never seen...
Sure, it works to run away from when they're tough, or did they run away from it like Pakistan?
Well, you'll find in China that was the thing that put the China policy over the top.
Also, it's one of the few places where we can look them in the eye and say, all right, when they say we can't depend on you, you say, well, can you depend on you?
Yeah. They won't say they can't depend on us.
Yeah, that's right.
They won't even admit they need us. The thing is to put it to them on the face.
Now, he's one thing Mao was wrong about, that they need us to make their sewing machines.
Oh,
shit.
Mr.
He's talking there as a basically as what he was, a fellow traveler.
Crazy. They will not ask for economic assistance. They will not even mention economics to you.
They can't do it.
They're too proud. They won't do it. It's totally against their principles. They'll discuss general things with you, and they have to get a sense. The thing I would hit early, and I've written my suggestions out, is your analysis of the Soviet Union. I do it tough and cold.
Well, I don't. The one thing which you had in your talking paper, and I totally agree with, though, not too obviously, I don't know whether you ever think as I have, or you feel that you must make it appear that we're trying to play the Soviet down against the Soviet.
Well,
or you would.
No, I would. You have to thread a careful line. So you shouldn't give the impression you're trying to play them against the Soviets. But when, in your first meeting with Stroh,
you want to know what I think of the world.
You ought to give a quick review of the world situation. And you ought to say, I start with Taiwan because they've got it on their mind as a question of principle. And just state those 5 points and then push it aside. I'd say one or two things about Vietnam, and then I'd say, but now...
I've got to say, in order to prepare the way you're
I would review the world situation and I'd say, here's what the Soviets are doing. They're moving through India, now they're moving into Southeast Asia, and I'd say something to the effect that we have an interest in your independence, not because we like you particularly. I mean, we're not doing it out of altruism.
Yeah.
We're doing it out of self-interest. And that's when I would throw in the possibility that Dr. Kissinger has certain information he will give you whenever you...
Let me ask you, how long with the Chinese translator do you usually talk? Do you talk sentence by sentence or paragraph by paragraph?
I would, 2 or 3 sentences, and then put them to a paragraph at a time. And you have to remember, they'll write it down and take it to Mao, so...
Oh.
There are 2 statements that I think be useful to the opening plenary statement you might read, but that's not so important as long as you don't say anything very substantive. But the first one with Cho, it would be sort of useful if you considered reading.
Will he read this?
He'll have notes in front of him, yes.
Well, let me think about it. I may be able to get it in my head.
Well, if you can remember it, even better.
Might be more effective.
I found a poem. I never, when I meet the North Vietnamese, for example, I never read. But I read my 2 opening segments to them.
I'm inclined to think I should, basically not my style.
I know.
Invite the visitor to speak first, or
yeah.
He speak first?
No. people ask you to speak first.
Does he expect it to be formal like that? Do you want to make me open and say that, do I want to make one? Is that the way he does?
No, he says, what he will almost certainly do is to say, Mr. President, since you are the guest, perhaps you would like to speak first. And then I put, major thing to do in the private meeting, the major thing to do in the plenary session is just to list the topics so that he can tell, I will have it set up so that he will suggest which you handle and which should be handled in the other group. That's how I handled it when I was there the second time.
The first time I see him, that he hears me, will be in a plenary session.
Yeah. That doesn't make much difference.
I don't want to say anything in a plenary session.
No, you shouldn't, if I'll tell him that.
Yeah.
But you should just list the topics. List the big smorgasbord of topics. And, but I just speak gratitude.
You do tell Rumsfeld that he feels it's proper that he might give y'all a return call and say that I've always let people, I mean, I know y'all, I hope, will always call as he sees me and should never vote for. But I think in this case that I do appreciate the fact that he was going to do this in the national interest, that I think this trip, I just go over the trip to the Soviet Union, to change the whole course of world history, and that undercuts the president. If in good conscience it can be avoided, should be avoided. That will give a little lesson on the other one, it must be there.
I don't know how these votes work, but it should go even higher after the China trip.
Has to. Can't tell.
No, it has to.
No.
But that is,
you're always assuming, what you assume about the thing that the reason we didn't go up during the whole year of 1971 with all the initiatives. Everybody said, gee, but we're doing all these striking things in the presence of talkers and bullshit. They all know me. I don't have to be on.
I think that those were you just talking about things, they weren't events. This is an event, and it will go up, but it has to.
Well, we assume it.
It may have discounted it some. It's gone up some in anticipation, too.
Yeah, but the China thing hadn't really hit the news until this week.
This week.
With all the...
Because I went in the bookstore over here to get a Valentine today, the whole front table where they put the best sellers usually and everything is all books on China. The double day bookstore, whatever it is.
The date of your full news?
4th, 5th, and 6th, that weekend.
Mm-hmm. You had your broadcast set. So we had quite a week.
Yeah.
Then we had our press conference. So what was that? We're doing.
I don't think this made it so down.
It did.
I don't believe it.
I suspect it didn't. I would guess from the poll probably went up.
I mean, the bombs on. I'm for that.
I'm not so sure that people mind that, but I
don't think you have.
Well, they did bomb. They did mind bombing the North around December. That's sort of escalated. It's not at all long.
It's funny, for some reason, the press plays that as escalating the war.
Part of the reason was that I felt at the time, as Senator recalls, my tuition was going for 5 days.
That was
because after 3 days of the stop, but by the time it was 5 days, every single official was right in
the press.
No question. Of course,
here we've been going for longer than that.
Yeah, but that's solid.
Yeah.
South Vietnam.
Yeah, that's different.
They're trying to make it a big issue, but I don't think people care that much about it.
You get a delay in the offensive because that's really been built up. People and the press are both expecting a big offensive.
But one thing about it, I don't know whether you've got it or not, but even if the offensive is demolished, we can claim all the reasons demolished because of the bombing.
I'd be amazed if there were a significant offensive before the 17th, or whatever we mean.
Yeah, if we get that, I can get your notion.
I don't think so. Unless they're sending us a note to throw us off.
You guys remember 2 weeks ago, you were just hoping the offensive would delay each day.
That's right, as it is now, Mr. President.
Now look where we are.
The closer it comes to our being in China, the more they will lose the impact they are hoping for.
Sure.
I don't care if they take Pleiku in Khartoum next week. That won't compete with you being in the Forbidden City on television.
I think they've made a mistake if they were planning to hit right at the time of your visit. The time to have done it was last week.
Yeah, it will infuriate the Chinese.
You think so?
Oh, yeah. You will see, Mr. President, when you ride alone with Joe in the car. Certainly, I wonder whether on those occasions we should stick an American interpreter in so that we get a record.
No.
Because we ought to have a record.
Okay.
But,
you mean you have to have two people in the car then?
Well, they'll have an interpreter.
What are we going to use the State Department interpreter if we decide to do that?
Well, they have three along, but that doesn't mean you have to use them. Because we have...
You understand if we...
No, I'm very leery of using one in our meeting.
Why is it? We may have to say some things in our meetings. How are we going to give Rogers the record of this damn thing?
We'll give him, clean it up.
Give him the summaries?
Yes, give him summaries and clean it up.
That's right. I agree. We didn't give him records in previous meetings, you know. I go to these meetings, no, but I just can't do it.
But we will have a record.
But then we just use, I just believe we use the Chinese translator. You know, state, I just wish to goddamn go out and hire one or ourselves, but that would be an affront to them.
Well, it also...
If he works for state...
He'll get the substance out of it. It's almost impossible for him not to give it.
Now, goddamn it, everybody will... That's a terrible problem. Everybody will criticize us for letting them just have their own translator, won't they?
Well, except... We go with whatever record they give us. I mean, whatever they tell us in English is the official record. I mean, we'll have a note taker there.
Well, we have a guy that will take it all. That's our record, it's the English record.
It's the English
record. That's all we need then.
I mean, if they misinterpret it, that's their tough luck.
Yeah, and they'll say this is the record.
This is the record.
That's the record, it'll be ours. Well, who will we have? We had a shorthand note taker.
Well, Winston Lord.
You understand? We can't have it all. He's just getting the sense of it.
No, Winston Lord has done it for me. He gets every word.
He does?
Absolutely. He gets it verbatim.
All right. That's the way it'll be done. I will not have an American interpreter in there because I cannot have that interpreter taking the whole goddamn thing.
If you want to protect yourself, one member of my staff, John Holdridge, who's also a law,
speaks Chinese.
Understands Chinese, and we can say we used him as a check on the Chinese translation. And he's totally reliable.
And you mean heavy and Lord?
It's a little heavy. No. Lord is better as a note taker. He knows the substance better. So Holdridge, I would not be sure, would get it down word for word.
And also you want him listening for other purposes, for what the hell? And let's tell him we need that. You know, it makes too many people that it'd be.
No, we can have both.
We have four on our side, and they have...
Oh, they'll have six at least.
That's all right, then. Let's have Holdridge in.
Holdridge...
Let's say that he's there for translation.
Holdridge is totally alive. You'll have no problem with Holdridge.
Let's do it that way. Holdridge is there, and he speaks Chinese. Let's just say that.
That's right.
You brought up through... that Holdridge is there, speaks Chinese, and also he's good on substance.
He was present at the previous meeting.
And I don't want to present the previous meeting. I don't want to have an extra arm in there. Now let their interpreter, however, the State Department,
sits with the Rogers
and the primary session.
And that's fine.
That's right.
And Holdridge, you wouldn't use as an interpreter, though. You'd use the Chinese interpreter.
Yeah, Holdridge just listened.
And Holdridge would listen and make notes of any discrepancies.
I think there aren't going to be any.
There won't be.
Let me tell you. That's a phony. Anyway, we always hear that there was somebody misinterpreted.
Absolutely.
So I think what to do is to have Holdridge there as our, he'll be our attorney, he'll do, be there on our side.
He's totally reliable, he has no friends, but he's totally reliable.
Well, my point is.
He can help take notes.
Yeah, but no, let him help take notes, and he tells the other, tells him to watch the color things, and things that Laura would not be watching. That's the way to do it.
Now we got Lizzie, that they have him do, also make notes on all the colors.
He can, make notes on whether the guy smiled, or hurt, or coughed, or sprains. In other words, watch the things, Laura has got to concentrate on the words. Now, that way you got it, then when you get the record, and we just say to Bill that we'll make a, memorandum, memorandum of conversation, so he's not gonna. And that, as I say, that's all we want from him. I don't think we should say you want from Rogers, word for word.
He'll get it anyway.
Yeah, you don't.
Oh,
just tell him you don't.
No, but all I wanna see, this is the more important, not for that, all I wanna ever see is the MEMCOM. There are reasons that I don't know, that's all I wanna see. I prefer to get the big picture than to go, over and try to nitpick every goddamn question and answer. You realize the riddle. So let's do it that way. This is, I've been worried about the interpreter, that answer. Holdridge speaks Chinese.
Well enough, I mean, we've got well enough for us to claim it.
That's just claiming she speaks Chinese. And that he was there with you before, so I mean, he was in for my interpreter. And it was really, these young guys can make a record. I prefer not to overlook it. That's fine.
And we'll know very soon after we get there. I think they're out to make a success of it. They've got the India-Pakistan thing, made them believe it. We don't know yet what reception they're putting on.
No.
Well, as long as they got cameras on the square of heaven, there's got to be something.
Well, there's now an indication that the motorcade may stop at the square.
Yeah, that's their normal procedure. Their normal procedure is that the motorcade starts and there's a formal reception there.
But we don't dare to stop. Still count on your normal eventing operation. We don't know what's going on.
Certainly, I would strongly recommend, Mr. President, that in your first encounter with Chinese crowds, we remain rather aloof and not try to approach them.
It's kind of come by, I know how to feel that you have very, very naturally.
Because they're not used to that.
Well, plus the fact that you have the ideal opportunities for some people stuff in Hangzhou and Shanghai,
exactly.
Which would be at the end of the visit.
The ideal would be,
beginning anyway.
If we can get Zhou to agree to put out the communique either Friday night or Saturday morning.
In Peking.
In Peking, we'll be home free then, because then they have an excuse for public demonstrations. There's a physical agreement. It's natural to put it out in Peking.
Well, apparently they're not putting up the satellite in Shanghai now.
No, they're not.
I mean, the ground station, whatever it is. Right, there's some questions to whether they are or not. But see, the main one is in Peking, and then then they all of a sudden came up with another one in Shanghai. Now it's not so sure whether they're going to do that. Which would be good, I would think, because that would mean you're not going for the...
But then
I should think we want everybody to get it.
We'll get the coverage anyway. Pipe it back. They film it flying after Peking and running on that.
The normal procedure for them is to put out the communique in Peking. The normal procedure is that the guest returns to Peking after the tour.
Somebody was pointing out this is the longest visit of a president of the United States to a foreign country. No president has ever stayed 7 days in a foreign country. On an official visit, they go on vacations or something. Well, on an official visit, Wilson was in Paris for a hell of a lot longer than 7 days. Then he was here different for a conference. Different time. These are a month. But he wasn't visiting France then. He was.
He pitched out because he follows all steps past and of course. I think they're going to warm it up every day a bit. I'm not in touch with them unless the talks go very badly. Your toast the first evening is very important. Mr. President will read that. because Khrushchev, is that going to be something that's going to be televised?
Yes.
Khrushchev is?
Probably.
If he reads, I will. He goes first.
Yeah.
There, you got a problem on lights. We'll do what we can on this job. We got a problem on how much we can do on getting lighting put in.
Khrushchev in 59 made a toast from the same spot, and that was the turning point.
A toast can be, I assume, very brief.
5 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes. Khrushchev's toast was a little bit aggressive, and they took tremendous umbrage at it. And from then, they sort of turned again.
So we have to be careful neither to be too aggressive or too apologetic.
No apologetic, I shouldn't be at all. Ever. And if Joe attacks, I think we ought to attack.
That's why I want to. Are they planning, is there a custom that we know that they're going to put out a text to the toast in advance?
I don't know. I have sent him a message.
Send him an email or a text.
But I sent him a message saying your toast would be in the same spirit as the toast he made for me when I was there last time, which said nothing aggressive. And I said you would not cover contemporary issues. You would just speak in general about...
Based on the way they work, Henry, it's not likely they would put out a text in advance.
No.
They never service it.
Well, they don't. Then it's my view that rather than sitting there and reading something to the newspaper man, that is my talk to the American television audience, which is But you have two audiences. You have the American television audience, but you also have these Chinese characters with whom you'll then have to deal with it.